Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey guys, if you want more Girls Next Level tea, behind the scenes, and deep dives, head over to our Patreon page for the exclusive content you can only find there. We have a whole other podcast called Slumber Party with Holly and Bridget. We have the commercial-free, uncensored video version of Girls Next Level, our personal scrapbooks, advice, Q&A, and so much more. I'm up in the comments talking to you guys. It's all the good stuff. We've been doing this for about a year and a half now, so there's a ton of content to binge. So go over to patreon.com/girlsnextlevel to join our Patreon family. We love you guys so much. We'll see you there.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. We are back with our first season 3 episode. And I'm so excited because this is really where I start liking the show. This was the first season I ever really felt involved. And I just feel like in a lot of ways, the seasons get better and better. I mean, season 5, the ending was a little bumpy.
Yes.
But I was trying to think about, like, I was looking at episode lists because I know people were asking us, like, what our favorite seasons were. And I know you don't know because you haven't watched them in so long. But I feel like for me, seasons 3 and 4 are my favorites for sure.
Yeah, I've watched season 3 and I really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was fun, but I can't. But then there's season 4 and season 5 that I haven't even looked at. And I did look at the episode list, though. And season 5, there are so many episodes. It's almost
there
like
are.
Two seasons.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like they didn't want season 5 to end and they just kept tacking them on to that instead of starting season 6.
Yeah. And I mean, that was a wise choice as it turned out.
Yeah. So I feel like that's season 5 is just going to take us. Not only is it hard to unwind everything that happened, but there's so many things that happened and so many episodes to go over. I feel like we're going to be on that one for a while.
I know, totally. And there's people like, I don't know if we're going to do so many interviews for seasons 3 and season 4. We'll see. So we might be going through episodes a little bit faster. But even season 5, even though there's so many episodes, there's so many new people that come in too. So there's so many people that would potentially be good interviews.
Yeah.
So this first episode of season 3, it's a Christmas episode, which we were so excited to do because the first year that we were doing Girls Next Door in 2005, of course, I wanted to cover the holidays, but we weren't filming at that time. We were on hiatus. And that nobody was excited about filming the holidays either. But I feel like obviously like holidays are an important part of your life, especially if you're really enthusiastic about the holidays, which I am about Christmas. But, you know, living at the mansion, it was such like a Groundhog's Day kind of infantilized in some ways experience that holidays, I feel like, are even more important there because they're such like markers of time, just kind of the same way as like I would always celebrate half of my anniversary or like Father's Day with cards from the dogs or like stupid shit like that. Just because when you're living in a world that's so Groundhog's Day, you really want to make as many days special as you can. So I felt like the holidays was such an important part of our life. And it's interesting too, how the network and production, not that production didn't really want to do it. I think Kevin did, but like the network was so anti doing Christmas because they felt like, I mean, first of all, this did not air during Christmas. It aired in March of 2007, but not only because it wasn't timed out to air during Christmas, but because they felt like it didn't rerun that well. And as we've said before, back when Girls Next Door was new, it was reran constantly on the network. Like you almost could never turn the network on without it being running. So they didn't really love that it was a holiday. But then I think that's not fair, though, because we already had done two Halloween episodes at this point. And as far as I know, nobody complained about Halloween, but like Christmas, you can't do.
Yeah. Well, and 4th of July. So it's like we're hitting the other holidays.
Totally. That's so weird. It's just Christmas snow.
Yeah. But so I really wanted to do the holidays, too, even though Halloween mm-hmm. is my favorite. Like, I love all holidays. Like, I will get into any of them. And so I was really hoping for it, but I understood like how that might be weird to like be re-airing it in mm-hmm. July or August. And it's like a Christmas episode and we're going to yeah. the snow and stuff. Like, I get that. But I was so excited when we finally got the go ahead.
Me too. And I get it why the network's hesitant, because even now, like, we're recording this at the August, September, and it feels odd to talk about Christmas and yeah. be like, oh. So this was probably like the second thing we filmed for season three. First thing we filmed would have been my birthday. And we were coming back after only like a month's hiatus.
Because, it was a quick turnaround.
Yeah, or like 2 months hiatus, because the last thing we shot was Vegas in early October 2006. And then we're back in December of 2006. And do you remember the premiere party for season three when this episode first came out? It was at the mansion in the backyard.
Not necessarily, not unless you tell me something that rings a bell.
It was specifically E was throwing like, it was not like a big party. It was kind of like a backyard rented cocktail party over by the pool. And they had like a step and repeat and everything. And they were celebrating like our show premiering, but the new show that was premiering right before us, because there would always be like Sunday nights was always the new night on E. Mm-hmm. And once our show was a hit, there would always be a new show like right before us. And yeah. most of them did not last. I don't remember what half of them are. But this season, the show that came before us was called Paradise City.
I was going to say, was it Paradise City?
Yeah.
Because I do remember something about doing a party with them.
About all these people in Vegas. And it didn't last. And I remember later when I was trying to do my spinoff in Vegas, they were like, nah, we've tried to do so many shows in Vegas and they never work.
Yeah. And that was one of them.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, we were at that party and the season was ready to premiere. And they had like just signed Ryan Seacrest to the network. And I remember Hef was like cranky about it. And he's like, oh, they can afford him because our show is a success, kind of a thing.
That's funny.
And
I feel like we were always kind of trying. They were always trying to pair us up with that tanning show, Sunset Tan. Did you ever feel like that? Like they were kind of like pushing the two to like do events together or like.
I don't really remember. I do remember at one point it was airing when we weren't airing. And one of the cast members was going around in the press bragging that it was the highest rated show on E. And it was not. Our show was. So I took that personally because I'm like, if you're out there saying that, then I look like a liar.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the highest rated in his time slot on the one network.
That's right. Yeah.
But I remember one of the network executives coming up to me and they were like, do you like this episode? Meaning like the first one, the Christmas one. And of course I do. I felt like it was kind of my episode because I'm so into Christmas. And I was like, yeah, I love it. And they're like, oh. Like, they were so nervous about doing Christmas and so anti. Like, they did not like it.
Yeah, I remember that. And I knew that if we did the holidays that it would be fun. Mm-hmm. And I felt like people would really like it. And I'm curious if they do really like it. But I always thought it was even more a glimpse behind the curtain to me.
I think so.
Because this was like this was usually very intimate and very private times at the mansion. And so for people to see that, I feel like you're getting even a deeper glimpse into what goes on.
I think so, too. And unless there's something I'm not thinking of from season two, when I'm showing off my Christmas decorations, it's one of the first times I'm seeing myself on camera being like authentically enthusiastic about something. And I never got any feedback as far as like it not rating well or any complaints from anybody after it aired. Like I heard a lot of like hesitation before it aired. Yeah. But I never heard any complaints after it aired. So I think it did just fine. And it seems to be like a beloved episode amongst the fans.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. So we're going to get in our grotto time machine.
Yes.
This episode first aired on March 4th, 2007. The top song that week was This Is Why I'm Hot by Mims. And the top movie was Madea's Family Reunion. So before we get into this episode, I just have to say, if I haven't made it clear already, like, I love this episode.
I do too.
I even put it on our Instagram. I was like, as I was watching it to take notes, I'm like, this is the first episode. Like, I know there's a couple during season two I've mentioned I like Dog Birthday Party and the Halloween ones and stuff like that. But this is the first one I watched and I'm like, I really love this episode. And I feel like it was really well done and it was pretty real. And like, I love this episode.
Yeah. So it starts out the opening scene outside the mansion with all the twinkle lights and swanky jazz music is playing.
Hef's theme.
Yeah. And we're all coming out and we get on this limo bus and it's all set up with like eggnog and hot chocolate and cookies. We all get on and we're going to go see Christmas lights. Can I just tell you too that I love this tradition so much that after I moved out of the mansion, I also rented a limo bus, filled it with cookies and eggnog and hot chocolate and like got a big group of girls together to go see Christmas lights.
Oh, that's so fun.
A couple of times.
Where was my invite?
I'm sure you were invited.
Just teasing. So this it cuts to a confessional interview of me and I'm such a fucking zombie in it. I'm like, I think the holidays are a great time to be with your friends. Or so I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah. The holidays are a great time to bring everybody closer together because there are so many fun activities.
That had about 50 times more energy than when I said it, though.
And I'm wearing this outfit, but you can't really tell because I have my white jacket over it. I'm really bundled up. I've got a scarf. I've got earmuffs. Yeah. I've got gloves.
Is that from Victoria's Secret?
No. Victoria's Secret did do a skirt and like a little top. But
yeah, they always did the pink Santa look. And every year they would have like some kind of a pink Santa outfit back then.
This one I actually had Trashy make.
That's cute. And do you remember like that year we went and the lights weren't that good, but like Kendra and I spotted this thing that was like our favorite thing. And it was a sign and it was the shape of a dog taking a shit. And it said something like clean up your mess or something. And we were like all excited about it.
I'm like pooping dog was the coolest thing we saw.
And on the bus, we're talking about our New Year's resolutions. And I was asking you guys for questions about it on Patreon, which by the way, we've worked in here, like maybe next week when we get into it a little bit more, but I don't have them written out like, oh, so-and-so asked this question, but we did like factor them in to the convo, definitely a lot of them. But people were surprised at your New Year's resolution because you said my New Year's resolution is to be more positive. And people are like, what? You're like the most positive, bubbly person. But I remember that was your New Year's resolution for a number of years, like starting in the Mean Girls era. And I remember you telling me about it and you're like, I'm usually so positive. And this place is just like getting me.
Yeah. Well, I remember even getting, they cut it out on the episode, but I remember everybody going, what? Even on the bus that day. And I'm like, no, seriously, like it's just maybe a better way to put it was to stay positive, but it can bring you down so easily there. And so I just had to keep thinking of ways to make it my own, make it fun, stay positive. Like, what am I going to be doing after this? Like, I was always trying to like make sure that mentally, I was taking care of myself and I was challenging myself and that there was going to be something for me at the end of it too. Like, I wasn't just wasting my time here being frivolous.
Yeah, totally.
But that sometimes gets in your head. You're like, what am I doing here? What's happening? And then there's drama going on. And you're like, is this all worth it? And so I just had to stay. My whole goal is stay positive, stay focused and stay creating, stay striving for that next thing.
Yeah, I felt like even through all phases of being at the mansion, like the worst times, the better times, that was always a conflict going on in my head. Like, what's going to happen after? Am I making the best use of my time? Is this even remotely smart to be doing? Like, is all the drama worth it? Like, what's happening? Brain cells being here? That was a big one.
Yeah. That Mean Girl era was definitely like, why am I doing this? Like, there were times where I was sure I was done. Like crying to my mom on the phone, like, I'm done, I'm leaving. So obviously at this point though, things are much better, but we're still dealing with a lot of drama right here because we have somebody who's very much doesn't want to be doing any of this stuff that we're doing and is pulling away. And we're going to get to it in this episode because it's really bad in this episode. And I'm shocked that it doesn't show. I'm shocked. I think I texted you and like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I think it's something we'll more get into at the end of the episode, but it's definitely a big thing. And I put in my notes here, I'm like, okay, like I remember you really struggling to stay positive during the Mean Girls era. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, like, what was it about this era? And I remember, because this era was so much better than the previous 4 years at the mansion, but I feel like the struggle kind of came from it being such a controlled environment, almost like you're a child in a family and you don't really have autonomy over your own life if you're going to stay in that bubble, and things not always being fair. Because obviously the real world and real life isn't fair. You know that. But when you're living in a controlled environment, you feel like, well, since it's controlled, it should be at least fair, but it never was. Yeah. And then you feel like, because you have no power in the controlled environment, it's extra frustrating.
Yeah.
So it's hard. And it reminds me, like, the way the three of us were treated, like, my kids love to watch, like, YouTube shorts, and they watch a lot of skits on there. And one really popular skit that a lot of people do is they'll be like, show how, like, the oldest child gets treated and how the middle child gets treated and how the youngest child gets treated. And the stereotype of that was very much us. Like, in those skits, it's like the oldest child is always expected to, like, never have a sick day, do all the chores, bear all the burden, responsibility, no excuses, nobody feels sorry for you for anything. Middle child, it's kind of like, oh, go do your thing, but you're not getting any help with anything or any support either. Mm-hmm. And then the youngest child is like, oh, what do you need? Do you need, like, coddled, a cold compress for your forehead? Do you need, like, do you need me to go get you Chick-fil-A? Like, what do you want?
Yes.
And that was very much how we were treated. But when you're adults, that's weird.
Well, when you're adults and it's your living situation and it's your career, it's your everything. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody that's not participating and has got a bad attitude, and then they're getting all the opportunities, and then you're not allowed to, like, do the same things.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a lot. Like, stay positive, stay focused, like, eye on the prize kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, you'd be surprised when you're living that experience how it can feel like a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, obviously we made the best of the situation and we found our own little niches and stuff, but it was definitely jarring and took some getting used to.
Yeah. But I think that in general in life, everybody can benefit by trying to be more positive.
Oh, totally.
Like, I feel like there's no such thing as too much positivity.
So then we cut back to the mansion. And one thing I'd forgotten about is they show the driveway and how they line up with those giant candy canes, which was super cute.
It is super cute.
And that kind of made me think about, like, family stuff, because a lot of you guys on the Patreon had questions about, like, Hef's kids and were they ever over and did you buy them presents and did Kimberly come over? I mean, the kids, I feel like, I don't know what they were doing the rest of the day, but I assume they, like, celebrated Christmas and did, like, Christmas tree and stuff over at their mom's house. And then they would pop over for, like, the dinner and stuff and jump in the family photo and things like that. I don't know if I did it every year or started doing it more toward the end, but I would get them, like, gift certificates and stuff for, like, Christmas and their birthdays. Kimberly, I never saw come over on Christmas. But I feel like that's normal. I feel like when couples get divorced, they usually do their own Christmases and then the kids either do every other year or bounce back and forth. Like, it seemed very normal.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people asking how, if it was hard to be away from our family and stuff like that.
That's an interesting question. Because when I talk about it and when I say, oh, we weren't allowed to go home for the holidays, people are, like, all aghast and they feel like that's the weirdest, craziest rule. And I get it. And I know a lot of the girls who are girlfriends, like, even back in the Seven Girlfriends era, really resented that. They wanted to be home on Christmas. And, like, you could go, like, you could ask to go, like, the day before if you were close by, or maybe do, like, a quick visit before or after. But you were expected to be there, like, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. For me, as much as I like to bitch and moan about all things about that relationship, I have to say, for me, that wasn't weird because I felt like I was in a relationship, and that's what you do when you grow up. You start not spending Christmas necessarily. I mean, sometimes you do if everybody wants to get together, but you're not spending Christmas with, like, your immediate family that you grew up with necessarily. You're spending it with your person. So that's what it felt like to me. I didn't feel like I was hugely deprived from not going home for Christmas, but I know for other people that bothered them. And I don't blame them because I don't think they saw the relationship that same way.
Yeah. I know for me, I'm very, very close with my family. We have a huge extended family and we always did, like, this big Christmas thing together. And that was Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, I always, like, was like, oh, I wish I was, like, home for the holidays and stuff. And I really wanted my family to come. And people also asked that, could your family come? And they were invited to come for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But my family also has the rest of their family, you know, so they don't necessarily want to leave Lodi and come to the mansion.
Yeah.
So what they would do is they would come after, and they've gone to several New Year's Eve parties. So they would come, like, a few days after Christmas. And that's when we would do our Christmas together and then stay for the New Year's party.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at first, like, I really didn't like that aspect of it. Like I wanted to go home and spend it with my family. But then at this point, when we're filming and stuff, there's something magical about the mansion at Christmas time. They really go all out. I mean, for every holiday, really, but they really go all out. And I started to feel like this was the best place to be. You know, like I wasn't missing out so much on things.
Yeah.
I think I did miss one Thanksgiving, though, when my grandpa died.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But remember, he held it against me.
Yeah. You're given the guilt trip. That was not cool.
And then the next time I asked to go somewhere, he's like, I just let you go home for your grandpa. And I'm like, for a funeral. Like, hello.
That's the worst. I can't. So I say in confessional interview that I don't think people really think of holidays or anything like wholesome or family when they think of the mansion, but it was definitely something like Hef loved to celebrate. And they show like the Great Hall decorated. They show the Christmas tree. And I used to have like, when I started decorating the Christmas tree, it was like the same routine every year. Like I'd set a day aside. It was usually like right before Thanksgiving or whatever. And I'd spend like the whole fucking day decorating the tree because Hef wanted one piece of tinsel on every branch.
Yes.
And I did my best to make it happen.
Well,
but I love decorating the tree.
Going back to what you said about people don't think of the mansion as like holiday and stuff, Hef was very much a kid at heart. Like he was so giddy about all of this stuff and he loved all of the decorations and celebrating the holidays and stuff. So I feel like it was very, very much like a family event.
Yeah, the train around the tree and all the stuff. And they focus in on the tree and they show like a Christmas picture of Betty Page in the Great Hall. They show like the Tinkerbell tree topper. And then they show this Jessica Rabbit ornament on the Christmas tree. And I had the weirdest experience watching this because I still have that Jessica Rabbit ornament. It's still like one of my favorite ornaments. I still put it on like the family Christmas tree. And like when we look back on this show, obviously I remember the feelings and remember doing most of the things really well. But it was so long ago, it feels like a different person. And even if I'm finding like clothes I used to wear and like wearing them as an Easter egg in the podcast episode when we're talking about it, it still feels very like disconnected and another world and almost like it was a past life. But for some reason, when I saw the Jessica Rabbit Christmas ornament, because it's still a thing that even now, like I get excited about that ornament to put it on the tree, it felt like a weird like wormhole, like time warp. And I felt like, oh my God. And it was, I don't know how to explain it. It was just weird. Like I felt like, oh yeah, that was me. Like this is the same life time, you know? And it just felt so strange to me. And it made me think how just like when you've been an adult for so long, things you did in your 20s just feel like another lifetime, like TMI. But I was at the gynecologist the other day and for like my yearly. And he asked me like, have you ever had an abnormal pap? And I was like, no. And then I remembered, no, I have had one, but it was so fucking long ago that I forget it even happened. And I'm like, no, wait, I have. But it was like 25 years ago or something.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I know how you feel, except for I don't feel that way about the mansion. Like, it's crazy. Like, with our mansion life and Playboy and all that stuff, I still feel very much connected. Mm-hmm. And I still feel very much like that was a part of me and a part of who I am. But my life before that, like sometimes I forget that I was married before.
Yeah.
And when I remember that or when I have to talk about that for some reason, I'm like, I don't even feel like that was me.
Even when I think about you and like I've met your ex-husband before and stuff, but I feel like that wasn't you. Like, I feel like it's just been Nick this whole time.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, was that even like, that just feels like something that I know about, but it wasn't me.
Yeah. If you're younger, that might sound bizarre, but just wait.
But every once in a while, like you said, like that ornament, like something weird will happen or I'll see it or I'll hear something or whatever. And it like kind of transport me back and I have that same exact feeling you have like, whoa, that was me.
Yeah.
It's not just like something I observed. It was actually me. That was my life.
You know what a question I get sometimes when we have our Q&As is if Hef ever had a facelift. And I remember people asking him that a couple times when I was with him. And he said no. And that he knew, even when he was younger, that he really liked his face and he knew he was going to like the way his face aged, which, love that luxury for him.
Right? How nice.
Especially coming from somebody who's like, you're not hot anymore at 28. But I read a book called Dark Secrets of Playboy, and it was written by a mansion butler who was there in the 70s. And he would do like a lot of like when the butlers and the housekeepers would come in and like service his bedroom when he wasn't in there and stuff like that. And I know he filled in and did like the Brian Olea job for a while. I mean, this is before Brian Olea's time, but like that ballet job. So he was pretty in the know. And in the book, he talks about there's this period of time where Hef was recovering from a facelift. And I wonder, like, is that not true? Or I kind of have the feeling that when Hef was being asked, have you ever had a facelift? Was that just so long ago? Because it was like 30 years prior that it was almost like, oh no, because he's thinking, like maybe he's thinking that they're asking about like more recent times, you know? I don't know.
So you think he had a facelift? Because I thought he only had a bleph.
Yeah, I know he had an upper bleph like after his marriage. And like if you look at the before and after pictures, that's really obvious. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I would think that was a discrepancy, but then I kind of just had this inkling because I felt that way before where it takes you a second to even remember like, oh, wait, in my other lifetime, 20 years ago, like I just kind of had like a gut feeling that maybe that was that kind of thing. I don't know.
It's possible because I've definitely been asked things before and I'm like, oh, no. And then I'm like, oh, wait. Well, yeah, but and like you said, in that other lifetime, I did that or I was there or
so long ago. And they're showing more Christmas decorations. You're talking about Christmas and how the mansion goes all out. And they show the creepy bear.
I was just going to say that.
There was this weird bear they would put on the bench in the Great Hall and its neck would move and it just kind of move in circles. But it was so slow. It was almost imperceptible. You can see it for a second on the screen. So it was very creepy. It was like one of those things. And it was a creepy looking bear with like beady eyes.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that you see it out of the corner of your eye and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. You're like, is that
so
a movie?
Strange. And they show my Disney village that I would set up every year on the piano. And I would have like, most of it was not supposed to be a Christmas village, like the Main Street part was and the Toontown part and the Fantasyland parts were. And I still have those today. But the other parts were these things they called big figs, like big figures they'd sell at the park. And it would be like a Splash Mountain that was like this high or the castle. I don't have those anymore because they were in storage and a lot of them got like broken.
Oh,
so they were just like an odd size and they had to be packaged weird. But I still have like the ones that were supposed to be Christmas, but I'm nostalgic for the Splash Mountain one because they show like a close up of it and like the water running and stuff like that.
Yeah, especially since it's not Splash Mountain anymore, right?
Yeah. So I kind of wish I still had that one. But I really enjoy doing all the Christmas decorations. And I feel like Hef liked my Christmas decorations. And I feel like even like the guests got a kick out of seeing them. Like, I feel like it genuinely added. Like, I don't feel like it was one of those things that I was being pushy and I had to do because it was my thing and everybody resented. Like, I felt like everybody liked it. And we're like excited to see the Christmas village every year.
I think everybody liked it once you started doing it. But do you remember how much pushback you got just to try and do it?
Yeah, because Hef was always so set in his ways. He didn't want to do the fake tree. Didn't want to do, because originally the tree in the living room was all wooden ornaments because Kimberly had so many dogs. She didn't want the dogs going in there and like knocking the glass ornaments off and like breaking them and stuff.
Yeah.
So it took a couple years for me to do the Christmas decorations, but I think even Hef really liked them once I did them. And then there's a gingerbread house.
Yes.
And the gingerbread house was my idea. I wanted to do a gingerbread house that looked like the mansion. And the staff would do the actual base of the house, like build it. And I would do the icing and stuff. And it looks pretty janky. But back then, we didn't have the resources we have now. Like, I've seen gingerbread accounts on TikTok that will show you in detail how to do really cool shit. But back then, you didn't have the resources. Like, if you were lucky, you could Google, like, maybe there would be like a recipe blog that would show you how to do one thing, but it wouldn't be anything detailed.
Right.
But I found like, I brought out our Monopoly figures. So we were all standing out front. And then I found this soccer girl somewhere that looked just like Kendra. And then I found these chocolate soccer balls. But I, for some reason, it's like I was coming home and I put them in the coat check closet and somebody ate them. And it's funny because I'm telling Hef about it on the show and they do this doom music. And Hef is like all serious. What do you mean somebody ate them?
Like, well, you said just, someone stole them. And so I feel like that's like a red flag.
What do you
mean? Something got stolen from the mansion.
And I think it was just the kids were eating them.
I think the kids were eating them too. But I feel like anything that's in that closet I've learned is fair game.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Nothing is safe in that closet at all.
And even I found a little plastic dog that happened to look just like Littlefoot. Like even the way it was standing was so Littlefoot. And as I'm setting it up, I'm talking to myself in the scene. Like I'm making the little figures talk to each other and stuff, which is so cringe. But I was always really self-conscious about doing a scene completely by myself because I'm like, I'm a very quiet person. I'm like, somebody has to fill up this airspace. And what do I do? Like, I don't talk to myself. Like, it reminds me of season one where I'm setting up a party at the Playmate house. And I'm like, okay, gonna dump these chips into a bowl. Like, that was just not my shit at all.
That's funny.
And then I'm talking about some lady, Suki. Who's Suki?
Oh, she's a lady. I don't even know how we met her. I think she was a fan. And she would send us all these gifts all the time.
And she would send me the chocolate soccer balls ever since that episode aired, because she knew it was a thing.
Yeah. And she would send me stuff even after we were out of the mansion and stuff. Like, we kind of stayed in like MySpace contact and stuff, or whatever was going on then, Twitter or whatever. So, yeah.
Thank you, Suki.
Yeah. Thank you, Suki.
And I have to say, because I want to make sure we mention the positive stuff too, like, Kendra is being really nice in the commentary. Did you notice that?
Yeah, but the commentary is like a whole year later.
It is a year later. And it's just interesting because I feel like people get it twisted a lot, and they think that because there's beef between me and Kendra now, that it has to do with stuff that happened on the show. And it doesn't. It has to do with stuff that happened after. Maybe the show set the stage. But I felt like when we were at the mansion, like, flare-ups would happen, but it was very much like sibling stuff. Like, you would forget about it 2 days later and like move on and try to make things work, you know?
Not this episode. This episode still sits with me.
I can't wait to hear your perspective on it, because I feel like I was a little, like, I know what you mean, because this kind of thing would happen over and over again. But I feel like I was a little bit checked out, or maybe just immersed in like the Christmas of it at all, because I know that it happened and I know it was really hard for production to deal with.
Yeah.
But I think I think I was just so excited to do the Christmas stuff. I maybe didn't notice the extent. So I'm super excited when we get to like the last half of this episode to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah.
I feel like I was kind of oblivious that day and heard about it after the fact, maybe.
Yeah. You talk about how you're obsessed with Christmas and it's your favorite holiday. And I'm curious, it's still your favorite holiday, right?
Yeah, I think so. I went through a phase where I wasn't as into Christmas. And now, like, I'm still into it, but it's just like a lot with like, because it's more about the kids now. And it's more about like, where am I doing it? Where are we doing it? I'm still doing it at his house sometimes.
Well, so I was just going to ask you, tell us how you celebrate it now.
Well, it's been different, you know, since we've been divorced for like 5 years now. And sometimes we'll do it where like, I'll take the kids to Disneyland and we'll do an overnight and I'll set up a tree in the room. And Mrs. Claus comes that day.
Mom,
I know.
I saw the Target bags.
Oh, I know. They've totally busted me now. But it's Mrs. Claus comes and gives them presents for Christmas Eve. And then I would go drop the kids off with their dad. And they'd usually do like some big Italian family thing. And then Christmas morning, he would have them. But now we're doing it in Vegas all the time, because that's just like such an amazing Christmas house. And that's what we're doing. So I just like camp out there on Christmas Eve and like,
yeah.
What do you guys do?
Ours varies too, but typically we celebrate it with Nick's family and we do Christmas Eve dinner, and then everyone tries to spend the night at mom's house. And then the next morning we get up and we do like a breakfast together, homemade That's breakfast. Cute. And then open presents, which takes forever. And then like maybe heat up some of the leftovers or whatever for lunch that day and just kind of chill out and hang out. And then by Christmas night, everyone kind of goes home.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
And we're finally on the show getting a time lapse of you decorating your room, because I know you wanted to do that for so long, like with Halloween and stuff. And you finally get to do it with your Christmas tree. And it's super fun to watch.
You guys, I was begging for this for so long, to do time lapse in my room of the decorating. Like you said, whether it was Halloween or Christmas or whatever, because so much goes into it and it takes so long. And I'm like, you need to just time lapse it.
Yeah.
I know you can't have a camera crew in here filming it 24/7. Mm-hmm. So just put a camera in my room and let me push go when I'm ready to start decorating. And finally, I got that opportunity.
I like it. I think it's satisfying to watch. And you're doing all your presents, and the blankets with the pictures printed on it is Woven Moments, the company that did it, still a thing? Because I know everybody's asking you like where you got the blankets.
Oh, so many people were asking about those blankets. I think it's still a thing. Yeah, I'm not positive, but I think it still is.
And this episode is doing what the show loves to do, showing the three different contrasts. Like, I've kind of taken over the house. You're super organized, doing the most in your room, presents, tree, everything. Kendra's struggling.
Well, it starts out just with her door, and it's kind of like a weird, wonky coming down the hall. And she's like having a complete meltdown in her room, saying she hates this. She fucking hates Christmas right now. It doesn't really make sense, because that's actually when she's on the phone with her mom saying that kind of stuff. But then when they cut into her room, she's just sitting there wrapping presents. She seems confused about the things she ordered, saying she never ordered it.
Did you notice the huge box that's like mostly wrapped in one type of paper? And then there's a different paper like taped on the top and the bottom.
Yeah, because that's the toilet paper thing that she's going to give Hef.
I felt that struggle, though, trying to wrap shit. So we announced that we're getting the snow. What did you want to get that for originally? Because the snow was your idea.
Yes. Well, originally I thought we would do the sledding hill.
Yeah.
And we could go sledding on it. That's what I wanted to do.
On the slip and slide hill.
Yeah. But obviously that's way too expensive to do that whole hill. So they were like, well, just the front yard. And even that was really expensive.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how much it was? Because people are asking.
I thought it was $10,000.
Yeah. But $10,000 in 2006 money.
Yeah.
Probably like 15 grand now.
But I don't remember exactly. I'm not 100% that that's what it was, but I thought I remember hearing that number being thrown around. And then we had the hill so we could still sled. So they did the,
hay bales.
Yeah. So we could do that.
And as we're in your room talking about it, there's all these bench warmer Kiss cards on the floor. Do you remember we had to kiss every single one of those? And then Kendra's showing this like toilet paper man statue she got for Hef. And I know people were asking if he used that. He didn't use it. I feel like the value of it was just like getting a kick of it out of it on the show.
It was just that laugh. That was it.
I feel like it would have fit in the game house though. Cause remember they had like a couple creepy statues out there. Like there was a weird, like, and you could see him in the background of some of Kendra's interview. There's like a weird Charlie Chaplin statue, but I feel like it would have fit in the game house.
I think so too.
But anyway, so yeah, he never used it. I think he just like got a kick out of it and then it probably went to storage, but it did show up in one of the auctions. Like Crystal sold it off. So it's floating around there somewhere.
I like how they show us sitting in my room and researching the snow and talking about it because it really was our thing. Like, it wasn't just something we did, like the show did, or like their idea or Hef's idea or anything.
Specifically, like you were trying to lobby to get it done. And I like it when credit for an idea goes to the right person.
Yeah.
I think it's my Libra moon.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, and it's how it happens. Like, I sit there at that computer and I'm like reading off to you like things and we're like figuring it all out so we can sell this idea.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was so legit there of how it came down.
Well, I heard somebody from the staff talking about it once and they're like, the snow, that was Kendra's idea. I was like, we could barely get her out there.
That is offensive. There in no way was that Kendra's idea.
So then Lindsay, our friend who was a chef, comes over with like dog cookie dough.
Yeah.
And did you notice? Because first I was having some issue with like my DVD player. And at first when I was making notes on this before I did the commentary, I watched this on Crackle random. And this scene wasn't in it. So I think this scene is only in the DVD cut. I don't think it was shown on the show.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, because it wasn't on like the Crackle cut. Because I know if you watch the show on streaming, you're seeing what was on TV. But on DVD, sometimes there will be extra scenes embedded in the episode and you get like a little bit longer episode.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really wanted to make homemade treats for the dogs. And so Lindsay came over. She's a pet chef. Mm-hmm. And she had some stuff like pre-done, like some of the doughs already made. And a few of the cookies were already baked. But we did do stuff from scratch, too. And we made those pumpkin pies and all that kind of stuff. But I thought it was interesting, too, because we're using the kitchen. And that was such like a hard thing to do. So I know that I must have had to schedule that and get everyone's permission. And I can see all the chefs are like in the back little office area, like just hanging out and stuff. But I'm like, wow, that was like a feat to get kitchen time. I feel like I do it a few times, but like it's very rare and hard to get in there.
And there's really cute footage of you guys giving Littlefoot a cookie. And Littlefoot's just so cute in the scene. And you don't get to see her that much in the show.
Yeah. And we talk about it, too, because she was very hesitant to eat it. But it's because nobody was allowed, well, they weren't supposed to, give her any kind of handouts because she was very overweight. And she had, like, I think diabetes and things like that.
Yeah, she had some kind of disease where you couldn't really feed her or her belly would, like, blow up into this hard ball. Like, it was extreme.
So she knew she wasn't supposed to get, like, handouts and stuff. So we handed her the cookie and I feel like she was just like, am I going to get in trouble for eating this? She's like, and why is everybody watching me? Like, I feel like the pressure was on her. And so she didn't start eating it until we started to walk away. And people like were like, okay, we're not looking. You can have it. But yay, it was a success. I think all the dogs loved them. And you come running down with all the rest of the dogs.
I just love seeing all the dogs. It's so fun. There are two episodes of Girls Next Door that make me cry. This one, and we'll get to why. And the other one is, I don't even remember what episode this was, but there was an episode later on that was like in memory of Littlefoot.
Oh, yeah.
And they do like a little memorial clip at the end.
Yes.
I don't remember what episode it was. It has nothing to do with her. But it shows Littlefoot like resting in the pantry. And you hear, I think it's you off camera go, "Come here, Littlefoot." And it shows her like talk about it.
Oh,
I don't cry. But it shows her like getting up and like walking off as you say that.
Aw, you make me cry.
I know. I'm getting over this real fast. Okay. Speaking of dogs, have you ever seen corgis mixed with other breeds?
Yes.
And they look like a corgi in disguise as that other breed?
Yes.
Oh my God. And the cutest one is a corgi husky mix. Oh. They don't even look real. It looks like AI, and I want one so bad.
Oh my gosh.
I think Louie is low key part corgi. Like, I've tried to do the DNA tests on him and stuff, and they're awfully inconclusive.
Oh.
But everybody thinks he's part corgi because of his shape.
I could see that.
He's like very low to the ground. I feel like he's a corgi Pekingese.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got the fluffy hair like the Pekingese. He's definitely got Pekingese elements to him.
Yeah. I love a corgi. I remember when Kendra first moved in, I got such a kick out of Rascal because he's like a big head on a little body.
Yes, for sure. And then Kendra's all hesitant to give them to her dogs, like we would make something that our dogs can't have.
Because they're going
to
shit in her room.
Maybe that's what she's worried about. And you said that Lindsay, the chef that's there helping me out, you said in the commentary that she was shooting two different pilots at that time.
Yeah, because I think she was always trying to get a cooking show off the ground. And I remember her saying that one of her issues is that she was too young. Like, nobody wanted her because she was too young to be like a chef. Because I think everybody thought like Martha Stewart only when you're thinking of that kind of thing. But that's Hollywood, though. Like, people who aren't in the industry don't know that like shooting a pilot doesn't mean shit. Like, there's a 99% chance it's not going to get picked up.
There's a good chance.
Yeah. The next scene is we're doing the gift buying. And this is something I did every year and really wanted to do for the show. I would find like some kind of toy drive or something and go like buy a bunch of toys. And my favorite place to go was American Girl because I love American Girl. And I wanted to go like buy. I would get like bags and bags of dolls and then take them to whatever charity was like collecting for Christmas toys and stuff. It was really important for me to do in this episode because it was something I did every year that was real. But also, like, I just felt like we have this platform. We should show like some of the responsible stuff we do and not just like stupid shit all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know how entertaining it was, but it was really important to me to do. And we wanted, the show, of course, wanted to do it in a way that was visual and like maybe we could find a family that we could show it giving to them. And I think Terry Thomerson from Playboy PR hooked us up with like a church that like had a family who lost everything in a fire.
I thought it was Michael.
Maybe it was. We'll have to ask her.
Yeah, I think it was one of our producers. Her name was Michael. I think it was like her church or her church knew this family or they went to her church or something like that. I feel like she was very much involved with setting this up and making sure they were okay with being on camera and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it worked out so well because the family is so adorable, perfect for TV. And I'm always really grateful when people would come on our show and do things because I've said this before, how in hindsight, I really feel like even though it's probably presented to people like, oh, here's your big chance to be on a TV show. I feel like it's really the opposite. I feel like the guests don't usually get anything out of showing up on the show. It's more like the cast members are rewarded because they're getting content. So I'm always really grateful when people come on the show and like grateful to them for participating. And they were so freaking cute. And like I say, this is one of the episodes that makes me teary-eyed too, because, you know, back then, you're thinking, oh my God, how horrible to lose everything in a fire. Because you think about what it would feel like for you to lose everything in a fire, what it would feel like. You imagine yourself as a little kid, what would it have felt like to lose everything in a fire? But I watch this back now as a mom and I'm like, oh, it's a whole different feeling.
Yeah.
And that woman, to be able to raise 8 kids, oh my God. Like I look at this and I'm like, I wish I could have done more for that. Like, holy shit. Like, it hits me on a whole different level watching this episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It blows me away.
You know what I love about it too is that it wasn't just like some toy drive or whatever where you just buy random gifts or whatever. We literally had a list mm-hmm. from all the kids of the stuff that they really legitimately wanted. We didn't just go, okay, well, 12-year-old boy, what do they want? Oh, I'll just get mm-hmm. these Legos or this or whatever. We had their list.
Yeah, we had the list of exactly what they wanted. And it was also a lot of necessities too, like a whole new stockpile of towels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I will say an American Girl doll was not on the list. It was something I added just because I love shopping at American Girl.
But we definitely threw, stuff like that in there and made sure like the mom got things too. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like housewares and towels. And we got her like a gift card.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was going to ask you, what was in the envelope we gave her? Was it gift certificate? Was it cash? Did the show help out too?
I think it was a gift card for groceries.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And then the stuff we bought with our own money.
Yes.
It wasn't like a show thing. Yeah.
Or Hef. Although Hef did donate to a number of charities. He was pretty generous in that mm-hmm, way. Totally. So.
And I think they asked us, if I remember correctly, I think they asked us if we wanted to go deliver the stuff, but I didn't want to do that because I didn't want it to be all about, oh, I'm dropping off stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know people are seeing us do it on TV, but I felt like it would be better and more magical if like Santa brought the gifts and like yeah. less about us and more about them kind of a thing. And I'm so happy we did it that way because Mondo, who worked at the mansion, got dressed up in this Santa suit and
reluctantly.
Yeah. But he was so cute at it and perfect at it. And then didn't he say later that the Santa costume was gross?
Well, let me back up a little bit and just tell you that it was partly Brian Olea's idea for Mondo to wear this mm-hmm. costume because Mondo's kind of like shy yeah. and like, you know, and they thought it would be funny, staff kind of playing a joke on him yeah. for us to request him to wear this Santa costume.
I didn't know. I just thought he was like the one who was available and he looks like a cute, jolly Santa.
He was available mm-hmm. and he is the guy that would have done stuff like that. But then they're like, oh, Mondo's going to do it. You guys should ask him to wear a Santa costume, which I was like, that's amazing. Like, that's perfect. That's totally, we would love for him to wear a Santa mm-hmm. costume. And he's like, we have one here. Let me get it. Because I would have gone and bought one if we didn't have one. And he's like, we have one. And so I asked him, I had no idea where this Santa costume came from at first. And he was like, yeah, the costume smelled weird. It was kind of gross. And then later I found out that the reason we had a Santa costume at the mansion was because we had a rental party outside and Ron Jeremy wore it as Santa at this holiday rental party. And then they just stuffed back in the bag and had it left at the mansion. And that's what Mondo wore. So no wonder it smelled weird.
Oh my God.
Gross, right?
That is weird. And then in commentary, I say, was that the same party where somebody jumped out of your cake?
Yes.
Did somebody like rent your cake for a rental party?
Yeah, there was a rental party that went on outside. It was holiday themed, but they were going to have like a burlesque, do like this Christmas thing, but they wanted to jump out of a cake and they rented my cake from me.
Oh.
So we just had to go get it out of storage and bring it back over to the mansion.
And then in commentary, Kendra says, Ron Jeremy smells like sex all the time.
He does. He does.
I don't know if I've ever got close enough to him to smell it, but
I've given him a hug before or gotten a hug. I don't know which way I say it.
Oh, my God. So the gifts get loaded up in the white van that I got Hef for our anniversary. Not really, but I think it was probably the same crew van. And do you remember, like, during this scene, like, I was dragging you around in one of those giant plastic gift beds?
Yes, and I thought that has to be a deleted scene, but I watched the deleted scenes for this episode, and it's not. You guys, we had these bags. They were bigger than me. I don't even know. And I got in it and Holly was dragging me all around the Great Hall. And we went into, Hef was in the library or in the like living room for some reason. We went in there and you're like, look what I have, honey, and stuff. And it's not in, but I swear I've seen the scene.
I feel like I can see it in my mind too. I wonder if it was in the cut originally and we saw it and then it got taken out or something. But I remember deliberately like being goofy in that scene because I'm like, well, I love that we're doing this scene. It's very heartwarming, but I want it to be like fun and funny too.
Yeah.
And they just didn't use it.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
It is weird because I thought it was funny.
Me too.
We weren't allowed to be funny.
Well, I wasn't going to say it because I feel like I say that all the time, but I think you're 100% right. That's what if it was somebody else doing that, they would have used it for sure.
Yeah. So all of this was like amazing and fun and we felt really good about it. And like I said, we had their list. So It was like a great thing. But there was one person who refused to participate.
Yeah, just to make it clear for you guys, like, obviously we asked, you know, Kendra, do you want to do this too? And she didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember why she didn't want to do it. And I remember asking you when I watched this for my YouTube rewatch, was it just because she didn't want to spend the money or?
She just didn't want to do it.
Huh.
So I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, I don't remember thinking too much of it at the time, but I do think about it when I watch it back because granted, we didn't have social media and stuff, so we're not getting as much feedback on the show as we would these days. And honestly, I didn't even think about it that much, even when we're rewatching the scene back, because this was something that I did every year and it was kind of like my thing or whatever. So I didn't think even watching it back too much about Kendra not doing it. But it surprises me that I felt like nobody else in the audience noticed that and wasn't like, oh, why isn't she doing this?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that she didn't want to do it. But at the same time, I felt like it fit with her personality that she didn't want to do it. And then I was surprised watching it back that nobody was like, oh, why didn't Kendra participate in this? Now I see a lot of people asking why Kendra didn't participate. But at the time, zero.
Yeah, it's interesting.
No, I didn't even think the network or the producers or anybody asked, not even half. Like, why isn't Kendra part of this?
Yeah, we're probably going to get into it next week. But I sourced some emails from the Kevin archive where he's talking to the executive producer about, not the executive producer. He's talking to somebody from the network about this episode. And the person from the network is like, oh, where's Kendra in this episode? I don't see Kendra in this episode, blah, 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 blah. But nobody talks about this scene specifically, and I'm surprised because I can see, even though I didn't think about this at the time, I can see how you could look at it and be like, oh, it looks bad that she's the only one not participating in this.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about it after the fact is the thing.
Right. But that was by choice for her.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of sucks, too, because at this point, she's the only one that's able to do like, I mean, I think I've done one or two, but she's the only one that's doing like all these extra gigs and club appearances and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just starting to dabble into it, but she's been doing it for a while now and she's getting a manager.
Yeah.
And like doing all these things on her own and stuff. And I think she was just anti. I really feel like this is a big turning point right in here. What's going on with everything in our lives and how she is responding to the show and to us and to everything. And again, it ebbs and flows throughout the seasons and throughout the episodes, throughout the day even.
Yeah.
But this is a real turning point. And I feel like you just behind the scenes, we really started to see her true colors coming out. And I feel like this is one example right here.
Yeah, I did see some of you ask on the Patreon, like, what happened in between seasons 2 and 3 between you guys and Kendra? And I don't think it was anything between us. I think it was, and it's odd to think about because it was such a short 2-month window that we weren't filming. But I think this was around the time when she started working with a manager, like you said, and started getting outside gigs. And if I had, I don't know this, but if I had to guess, I think there were a lot of people in her ear like, oh, you're the best one. You're the only one who's good on that show. Yes. You need to do your own thing. What are you doing still stuck there? Like, I think she was probably hearing a lot of that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And it turns into a thing.
Just so you guys know, too, up to this point, we were not allowed to have outside representation. Like, we weren't allowed to have a manager or an agent or anything. Playboy PR took care of all of that stuff. And that was it. Those are the only things we were allowed to do. And anything that came through had to come through them and then be approved by Hef. And then we could do it. She, on her own, went out and got her own manager in San Diego and then an agent. I'm not sure if she has the agent yet, but it's coming soon.
Yeah, I think it was just the San Diego manager. And you see him in a later episode this season.
It's kind of like the first time we're like seeing this happen. And so I'm like, well, if she gets to do it, then I get to do it too.
Yeah.
So like I went and did a Halloween party that we talked about already. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like starting to like dip my toe outside too. And like, I'm going to do outside things too. I didn't have an outside manager or agent or anything like that. But like, definitely if requests came in, I was like, I want to do it.
Yeah. So then the next scene is we go over to the Playmate house and give the girls gifts. And I think this scene was just supposed to include like the whole world of the mansion, including across the street. And I got the girls gift bags. And in it, I have like some of my merch, like the bobbleheads and the socks and things like that. I'm pretty sure there were other things too. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there were other things too, like things they wanted, like from Victoria's Secret or whatever. But I do say in commentary that I didn't spend a lot of money on the gifts because I thought it was kind of a thing where like I didn't want anybody else to feel pressure like they had to get us gifts or anything like that. But then they did end up getting me like really thoughtful, nice gifts. And I felt so bad. I was like, no, mine should have been better. But also on the show, like I'm pretty sure I got them individualized stuff in the gift bags as well. But they make it look like I'm just giving them bobbleheads. I was just like, no.
Well, I thought it was a cute tradition to start and to include them because they're also all away from their families.
Totally.
And this is all they have right now. And so I thought it was nice to go over and exchange presents and make them feel part of all of this.
Oh, yeah. It was totally fun.
But it was funny because there was these gifts and there was a bag full of candy sitting on the table that was for Hef. Uh-huh. But Monica hadn't given it to him yet. And he kept eyeing it and he kept like looking at the bag and like peeking in and like looking at me like, I want some of that candy. I want some of that candy. And Monica kept giggling and like poking me like he's looking at it again. And he'd be like, not even paying attention to what everybody else is doing. He'd just be like obsessed with that bag of candy. And she's like, will you just, she was like nervous to give it to him. Uh-huh. I don't know why. Like there was a few girls that were like super nervous. They didn't want to get presents and they didn't want to give presents. Like, do you ever feel that way? Like very self-conscious about like opening stuff or giving things or?
I don't usually, but I think that's why I was giving gifts that were limited budget as I didn't want it to turn into this pressure thing.
Yeah. Because
sometimes I'll do that too. I'll buy somebody a really nice expensive gift and then I kind of feel the vibe after that it was uncomfortable.
Oh,
in different situations.
Yeah. Well, they talked about how they were like super nervous to like do this gift exchange. Two of them were. But anyway, Monica's like, will you give it to Hef? So I slid it over. I was like, here, get your candy.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody ask too, like, what was Hef's favorite candy? And I know of two that were like his favorites. The Almond Roca from C's.
Yeah.
And then the Edelweiss.
Yeah, there were.
The Bridge Mix thing.
There's two shops in Beverly Hills. There's like the Edelweiss where you like the peanut brittle and then Touchere, which has the chocolate covered raisins that he liked.
Yeah. Or yeah.
I went to Touchere recently last time I was at Laurent's and he did like the organic Brazilian blowout, which I'm due for another one. But I went across the street to Touchere to get a coffee and it was like blast from the past.
Yeah. You know what grossed me out was Hef kept licking that lollipop. And it's funny if you just go twice, but he kept doing it over and over again. I was like, okay, I don't want to see that.
That made me uncomfortable too. It was going on a little too long and like trying to be a little too sensual. And I was like, ugh.
Yes.
I felt the exact same way watching that, not going to lie.
But then it shows us all like hugging and I just got all the warm and fuzzy, cozy feelings. And it did make me feel like I wish I had like that kind of like girl family right next door still. Yeah. And like that whole kind of thing going on.
That sounds so ideal. Just having like neighbors who are your friends.
Yeah, totally.
I forgot to mention too, in the earliest scene where I'm doing the gingerbread house and stuff, I'm wearing like a Hooters shirt, which is why if you're watching the video, I'm wearing one today. But I'm surprised the show let me wear that because it's just like free advertising on E! For a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, we also go to Hooters and we go there a few times on the show, I think.
We do eventually. Yeah. But I'm surprised they weren't like, can you change that shirt?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's true.
That's a lot of free advertising on like a popular cable show.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's our halfway point, you think?
I think so. I'm excited to get into the rest of it next week and just getting into like the drama that I am so interested in because I feel like I'm kind of aware of it, but not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Our merch is at girlsnextlevel.shop. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.